Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a commissioned servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Some words of Easter. Today is Easter Sunday, the queen of all of the feasts of the church. On this day, we recall how our Lord rose from the dead to proclaim new life to all sinners, captive to death in the grave. As the first visitors to the tomb heard, Christ is not here, he is risen. Today we meet our risen Lord here as he promised in word and sacrament until we pass through death to our very own joyful resurrection with him. In the first reading, the prophet describes the vision of that day when the veil of death is lifted for all eternity. In the epistle lesson, Paul describes death as the final enemy to be overcome for us in Christ. And in the gospel lesson today, Mark records the surprise of the disciples when they found Jesus was empty in the tomb. We hear the first two readings.
The Old Testament reading today is from Jeremiah 31, 1 through 6. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall adorn yourself with trombones and go forth to dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when watchmen will call in the hill country of Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading for today is Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since you became alive again, so to speak, When Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where he sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about earthly things. You should have a little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with him and share in all his glories. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you so." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and I will see them there." This is the gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and is ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who haven't been here for all of the Lenten services, you should know that we have been studying and considering the miracles of Lent. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about 3 hours of darkness when Christ was on the cross from the sixth to the 12th hour. And we heard about the earthquake when Christ died. And we heard about the tearing of the temple curtain, a curtain that was about 4 inches thick and about 30 feet high. And it was torn from top to bottom. And we heard about the splitting of the rocks that left fissures that are still visible today. And we heard about the faith of the Roman soldiers when Christ died. It was they who recognized him as truly being the Son of God. And then on Friday night, we struggled to find a miracle, but we decided that the miracle was the miracle of God's love, that he sent his son to die for us. Well, the miracle for today is pretty obvious. Christ is risen. That's the miracle. That's the one we celebrate. In the gospel lesson for today, we hear about two Marys who go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body early the next morning. And when they get there, they first thought, well, what are we going to do to move that rock? And when they get there, there's an angel that has moved it and is sitting on the rock. And he says, I know why you're here. You're here for Jesus, but he has risen. Go and tell the other disciples that he has risen from the dead. And as they take off and start running, they run smack into Jesus. And they see who he is, and they worship him. What joy that must have been for them. What joy that is for us today. What joy that was for the disciples. That's the good news for today. Christ is risen from the dead, and we have salvation. So concerning that miracle for today, I would like to answer three questions. Rather, I would like to ask three questions, and let's see if there's an answer for those. We've already heard the question, first question, and the question is what? And that is, Christ is risen. The next question might be, so what? And the third question is, now what? Well, concerning that question, so what? Paul says in some other texts that he wrote, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This miracle today shows the power of God. And so the answer to that second question is pretty simple as well. So what? So what? Christ was born or was raised on this Sunday, and to those who believe in him, they have the promise of eternal life. So now that leaves us with the final question. Now what? Now what are we going to do? So Christ has risen. What impact does that have on your life? What are we supposed to do about that? What do we do this afternoon? What do we do tomorrow morning? What do we do the rest of our lives? How are we supposed to respond to this event that happened 2,000 years ago? As I read the lessons for today, I believe the answer to that question comes in the epistle lesson. Paul is writing to the Colossians. And I'm going to read it to you, and I'd like you to be thinking about what is it that answers that question, now what? So Paul writes to the Colossians, since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ rose from the dead, now set your sights on the treasures and the joys of heaven, where he sits beside God in a place of honor, on the rich treasures of the joys of heaven. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about earthly things. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven, with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with him and share in all his glories. So let's kind of take that apart and look at each individual phrase on its own. In the first sentence, Paul introduces his premise. He says, since you were alive again when Christ rose from the dead. In other places, Paul says, the wages of sin is death. And of course, that means because all of us are sinners, we will all eventually die at some point. But just as Christ died on the cross and rose again, so those who believe will also be able to rise again on the last day. Because of Christ's resurrection, there is eternal life for those who believe. And the second phrase really answers the question, or begins to answer the question, now what? Paul says, since you have became alive again when Christ rose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven. But wait a minute, you might say, Paul, wait, I want to know what to do in this life. I want to know what to do this afternoon and tomorrow and next week. Am I supposed to change my investments? Am I supposed to buy that car? Should I get a new job? There's a ton of things that we wonder about in this life. How do I deal with all of those problems that I have, Paul? What are you saying here? Well, our problem is that we tend to focus very heavily on what's going on in this life. The problems that we have today and tomorrow occupy a great deal of our time. But Paul wants us to think about some more important kinds of things. He wants us to think about heavenly matters. Then he goes on in the next phrase, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about earthly things. But Paul, I've got a job. I've got bills to pay. I've got a family to take care of. I don't have time to think about this heaven stuff all the time. Let's look at it this way. Paul is not saying that we should ignore all the problems in our lives today, but rather he is saying it's better if our thoughts are on the direction of heaven. It's better to follow God's commands. It's better to live a life worthy of a child of God, because then other things are going to start falling into place. And Paul goes on saying, you should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. It almost sounds like Paul is making it harder. It's true, a person who has already died has no value, no connection to this world, no desire to continue to be here. My mother-in-law is 99 years with lots of health problems, and she said on many occasions, I'm ready to go. She's losing her connection, her desire to be part of this broken world that we live in. I suspect that at some point in our lives, we come to realize the futility of this world. And we decide that it's not worthy of our time any longer. And then Paul goes on, and when Christ, who is our real life, comes back, you will shine with him and share in all his glories. Paul doesn't consider us to be permanent residents of this earth. He considers that we are sojourners, that we are aliens. We are here traveling through to another destination called heaven. And we do well to put our focus there. So the next question might be, what does Paul want us to do? Well, what he's saying, I think, to us today is that he wants us to recognize that we focus too much on this broken and sinful world. He wants us to confess our sins. He wants us to live a life that's pleasing to God. He wants us to follow Jesus' words written in Matthew. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus wants to have a closer relationship with you. He wants you to care for others. He wants you and me to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and visit the sick. He wants us to eliminate those sinful behaviors from our lives. He wants us to cultivate Christian virtues. Simply put, Jesus wants us to live in a manner that's pleasing to God. But you say, golly, I can't do all those things all the time. And I understand, I can't do all those things all the time either. Try as hard as I might, sin still enters your life and mine. So let me remind you why we are here today, and that is to celebrate Christ's resurrection, to remember that Christ died on the cross so that we might be saved. And so for that reason, we come to the Lord's table today. We come to receive the bread and the wine, his body and his blood. That's where we receive that forgiveness that we need. That's where he gives us newness of life each time. That's where we find the strength to put our focus on heaven, to lead our godly life as he would have us to do, to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and provide help to the poor. It's there where we find the strength to focus on heaven. That's when we remember that we can start all over each day with a clean slate, because Christ has died and our sins are forgiven. And so today we celebrate Christ's resurrection. Today we receive a fresh start on our journey to heaven. And while we struggle with the disappointments and the brokenness of this world, we remember that our ultimate goal is not this world, but the next. And so we remember that because Christ is risen, as Paul says, we will someday follow him into paradise and shine with him and share with him in all his glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from him.
Thank you.
Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious and loving God, you sent your Son to die on the cross so that in the waters of baptism we might be raised up in Christ for new and everlasting life. Guard what you have begun in us and strengthen our faith so that we may rejoice in all your gifts, live as the people of your grace, and proclaim your saving victory to the world. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and caring God, you sent forth your Son that he might redeem your lost creation and win for you new sons and daughters who trust in your word. Give us confidence in your word that we may not doubt or fear, but be kept in hope until the day of Christ's coming again. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and healing God, we give thanks for your loving care and healing of our brother Ralph, and we pray that you would sustain his recovery to good health. We pray your blessings on and give thanks for the medical staff who cared for him and for the medications that he received. We ask, too, that you visit your grace on all those who are sick and sorrowing, those undergoing hardship or challenges, and all who this day are in need of our prayers. We especially lift up Paula, Dan, Piper, Jerry, Dolores, and Sue. And we ask, too, that you would make your presence felt by those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Fred, and Marion. Grant them patience to endure when they are lonely, and remind them of the certainty of their heavenly home. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and comforting God, we also lift up your servant Chuck, who is gravely ill. Strengthen him in body, mind, and especially in spirit, that he may confidently look forward to being reunited with you in paradise. And we pray that you comfort his family who wait and watch at his side. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and ruling God, you set your seal upon those who govern and command them to lead honorably in the pursuit of justice, protection of liberty, and the preservation of virtue. Grant wisdom and integrity to the president, to Congress, to all judges, to governors, and all who lead and serve us in this nation, state, county, and city. Guide them in what is good and right. Bring peace to all the nations and protect those in the armed forces who defend us at home and abroad. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and forgiving God, at your gracious invitation, we come to your table to receive your holy body and blood. May we find favor in your eyes and receive this holy sacrament in faith for the salvation of our souls and to the glory of your holy name. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and glorious God, we pray for all the blessings that you have poured out upon us. Help us to live each day with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise on our lips, that others may be drawn to your amazing grace. Continue to keep you in word, keep your word, and empower us to trust you in all that comes. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right, good, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you on this day of the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he destroyed death. By his rising again, he restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, John, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all of the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Amen.
give thanks, Almighty God, because you loved your creation even when your people loved you not. You sent forth the promise of our redemption and kept his promise alive through the ages by the prophets until your word became flesh in your Son, Jesus Christ. You revealed him as your own Son in the flesh, who for us and for our salvation lived perfectly the life we were created to live and died to offer the perfect sacrifice to pay our debt to sin. As he was raised to life on Easter Sunday and lives even now to save all who call upon his name, prepare us that we may rejoice in his victory, live in him by baptism and faith, and receive his very gift of himself in this blessed communion. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." For as long as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
Remembering the life of our Lord offered, the sacrifice of his death, and his victorious resurrection from the dead, we pray that you will keep us in holy faith and joy, now and throughout our earthly life, even to everlasting life when we shall be one with him and all the faithful marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. As our Lord taught us, we are bold to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share God's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Blessings of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Blessings of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Blessings of Almighty God be with you today and tomorrow and always. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace, you are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Blessings of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. John, the blessings of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. The blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Blood of Christ shed for you. body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you in life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Bless we the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, you did not abandon your people to the sin and death we freely choose, but you sent your own Son to save us. By his death and resurrection, we have been rescued from our sin and delivered from death. When we were baptized, you marked us as a people of your promise and gave us new and everlasting life. Help us to rejoice in this good news and daily live in his grace and hope for our sake and for the sake of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. If anyone has announcements, please come forward. Seeing none, I'd like to thank all the ladies who this morning got up early and worked hard to get our Easter breakfast ready. For those of you who missed it, sorry. We close with our closing hymn.
Thank you.
Christ has risen.
He has risen indeed.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.